Salutations, my friends, and thank you for tuning in to a very special edition of Factions of Freedom. I have titled the fourth narrative, Protecting Free Thought and Enlightening Adversity. I was joined by Jason Bassler of the Free Thought Project, and we talked about a number of things for this week's episode. Unfortunately, they were caught up in Facebook's recent round of censorship. We'll be getting into that and more with Jason. Things like building a platform, fighting Facebook, the digital inquisition, the book burning that we're going right now, how they tried to label the Free Thought Project with inauthentic behavior, and more. This is a very, very powerful episode, and I hope you guys take note. More will come from this, and we are already building. And with that being said, let's start the show.
Writer and co-founder of the Free Thought Project, as well as founder of the page Police the Police, because I definitely want to get into the police state and all the other authoritarian measures we've seen take place today. We have Jason Bassler with us. Jason Bassler, or am I saying that right? I hope I'm saying that right.
Yeah, you got it right.
Jason Bassler of Police the Police and the Free Thought Project joining us on Factions of Freedom. And let me tell you guys, you are most certainly in for a treat. Jason, my friend, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity.
Oh, man, the pleasure was mine, really. Because this is a very, very important episode, this is your first time on the show, I kind of want to do this right. For people that don't know, as I said before in the intro, Jason is the one of the co-founders of the Free Thought Project, as well as the page Police the Police, which is important. All these things are important. We don't really think about how we need to keep these authoritarian people in check, and then we just get desensitized to all the violence that they cause. But I wanted to do this right to have you on because it's monumental. We just had Kerry Wedler on of the Anti-Media last week, explaining how she too was a victim of the censorship that recently took place on Facebook. You, the Free Thought Project, and about 800 other pages were recently taken down from the social media platform. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We're actually waiting back to hear on three different appeals from the three largest tech companies in the world to reinstate our pages and accounts, but we're not holding our breath. It seemed like it was a very well-coordinated attack on alternative media and the type of information specifically that we focus on. As you had mentioned, there was a lot of other pages that were taken down. CopLop was one of them, Filling Cops, and Police the Police as well. Police the Police was the largest police accountability community anywhere on the internet as of 2017. But that is no longer the case. And, you know, I'm kind of curious to see what will happen with the police accountability movement. As the writer, longtime writer John Vibes said, you know, there was nothing that kept police more accountable than fearing that they would be on a viral video that, you know, swept across the internet. So with that being completely removed from the equation, you know, due to Facebook's unpublishing of our pages, who do we point at? I mean, whose fault is it if that does start to happen, if police accountability does start to falter, if police brutality starts to get worse? I think that page specifically was just one of the more important ones on Facebook. Obviously, the Anti-Media, the Free Thought Project, Press for Truth, these are all also very important. Information exchange outlets, you know, I guess we could call it news, and we did cover some news, but we're also just trying to give a perspective on a lot of this information, third narrative, if you will, away from the Republican and Democrat talking points, and as well as the mainstream media. So with that now being gone, yeah, it leaves a void. You know, they've deleted and erased our fans, but they haven't necessarily deleted the demand for that. So I feel like this is actually going to backfire. It's been 2 weeks now, just about, since we got our pages unpublished, and we've had a huge outpouring of support. We've talked to various media outlets. I've done interviews with everybody from Rolling Stone, RT, Reason, Breitbart. So Facebook's kind of shooting themselves in the foot here, at least for anybody who's somewhat freedom-minded, peace-loving, pro-accountability. I don't think anybody who are Facebook users will continue to look at Facebook the same way. And I think a lot of people who are on the fence, not quite sure about if they wanted to continue using Facebook, are probably turning away from them. And we got a handful of messages telling us that, because this has happened, because Facebook erased our pages, that they're no longer going to be using Facebook. It's kind of a double-edged sword for us. We obviously are trying to reach people who aren't familiar with a lot of these subjects that we talk about. We're trying to plant seeds based in freedom and liberty, and kind of just give, like I said, people a third narrative, a different perspective on some of these news cycles that come around, a lot of the information that surfaces from the mainstream media. We're in a kind of a crazy place right now, to be honest, and we'll see what happens of this. I do think that there has been a big uproar as far as amongst the alt media community, but obviously no mainstream coverage of this, and everything that was initially put out by the mainstream media, it was more or less just repeating Facebook's narrative about inauthentic behavior, spam, fake accounts. Nowhere has there been any type of real investigation or reporting attempts on their behalf to actually figure out what happened, nor do they have any incentive to. As we know, there's, six corporations that control basically everything you see, read, and hear. So,
They're trying to work their way into Facebook.
Yeah, and they're successfully doing that. They're basically trying to turn it into cable TV, non-threatening, any type of dissension they're trying to crack down on. And this goes for both people on the left and the right. It's basically, if you're anti-war, anti-state, you are a target. And it made it clear, and this just wasn't on Facebook, be clear about that. That was also something that was coordinated with Twitter. The same day that we had our pages taken down, Twitter also removed both of our accounts, Police the Police and the Free Thought Project. And YouTube also gave us a strike on a video that was uploaded in 2015. So they've had 3 years to take action on this video, but they decided to give us a strike the same exact day that we also got hit by these two other tech companies. So what do you think? Is that a conspiracy or is that coincidence?
I'd say that's collusion. That's clear. That's clear evidence of like collusion and coordination. How can within minutes or within hours, how can that happen? If these are supposedly two different corporations, two different social media platforms, indistinguishable from one another, then why is this happening basically at the same time? A lot of the things that I've seen out there, because I've had pages deleted, I've had content deleted, I thought that it was algorithms or something like that. But I think what's happening now, is we're seeing them come up with different hurdles for us, so to speak, different hurdles for us to kind of cross in order for us to prove or verify what we're actually doing. And to me, that's even more dangerous, because they're trying to figure out, as we talked about before the show, different patterns, different ways to identify not necessarily who's a threat or who's going to be a dissident or a subversive, but somebody who's going to actually be able to influence, as you say, that third narrative, who's going to be able to get other people to think. This is one of the concepts that I talked to Carrie Wedler about as well. With the purge on Facebook, what we're seeing right now, and you summed it up perfectly fine, they're trying to say they're trying to have Facebook be a passive social media platform. They're trying to have Facebook be a social media site that doesn't really have critical thinking information or anything that's actually going to contemplate or contradict the mainstream narrative. It's kind of like a mainstream social media app, and now we're going to have all these other these alternative platforms for alternative media kind of develop. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. We've been on some of these smaller alternative social media platforms like Steemit, like Minds. Unfortunately, they're nowhere close to the size of Facebook, right? So if you're a publisher and trying to be in the news business, there is no place that can even compete with Facebook. You know, I would say 98.9% of our traffic came from Facebook. So,
and I jump on that real quick, just to kind of point this out for future listeners. You know, people really have to think about that. The easiest thing to do is to get off of Facebook and to go onto all these other alternative media platforms. But people have to understand we're trying to reach a wider audience. We're trying to reach people who don't necessarily talk this way, who don't engage in this kind of information exchange, who don't go to look out for this information. There has to be like a safe haven or at least some kind of light in the dark that allows people to look at this type of information, have access to this type of stuff. Whenever they kick it off, that completely eliminates the need, the curiosity, the mysterium, any kind of allure that alternative media brings with it. And I feel like that's just something I wanted to point out. People have to understand that's why we're still combating on these platforms, is just so that we can reach those people who aren't aware that we're still there.
Absolutely. No, that's a great point. And I've been kind of trying to bring that point up when people just tell us to get off Facebook altogether. And, you know, I like the idea of that probably more than anybody, especially after, you know, 6 million of our fans were actually deleted. At the same time, we've been the most successful on Facebook because not only are we waking people up, but that's the only that's the only platform that you could actually have a business and run it successfully and actually make a little bit of money to pay your bills and rent. At our peak, we had 4 full-time employees and we had 5 writers all on commission. And, you know, I was extremely proud that we were employing these activists and journalists to more or less try to get this information out there. And there was a point in time where I felt like what we were doing was very important. And I still believe it is, but obviously it's been downgraded here with the fact that our reach has been killed, more or less. So, you know, they're not being honest. They've given a few different excuses. I have a journalist from Rolling Stone, Matthew Taibbi, I'm not quite sure how you say his last name, but he's actually reached out to Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube to try to get some statements from them on our behalf, and obviously to be a little more thorough with his story. And he said that Facebook is just generalizing on everything. Twitter they don't comment on specific cases. And Google kind of worked with them. They claimed that we had the information wrong, even though I have a screenshot with 2 different strikes on our account, and somehow one of them got magically removed after this journalist from Rolling Stone reached out to them. It's very dishonest, and it's almost kind of ironic that Facebook is making its own fake news and misleading statements in this latest purge to kind of cover their ass. You know, they claim inauthentic behavior and fake accounts. I don't really think there is anything we could have done to be more upfront and transparent about who we were. I mean, we had the Facebook page verified, which means you have to send in articles of incorporation to Facebook, which was issued from the state of Louisiana, proving that we're a legitimate business. We had that check mark next to our name, basically proving that we were a legitimate business. Both myself and John Vibes, one of our longtime writers, had our face and name plastered on the front of Facebook's, or of our page, because they, in the beginning of this year, offered a page role manager, which put your name and your face on the front of the page, trying to be, you know, more transparent about who actually runs these pages. Of course, I was a little bit hesitant to even be a part of that because, as you know, a lot of this information challenges the narrative. It's very counterintuitive. You know, we're all for police accountability. So who's to say there's not going to be some crazy who hunts us down or stalks us or harasses us on the internet or whatever, you know. So
it's an age, man. You can't really be too sure. You
know? Absolutely. Exactly. So for me, I was, you know, that was And that's just the tip of the iceberg as well. I mean, my personal account, I have linked to the pages that I ran. I also have a banner that shows all the pages that I ran. Our website itself has both mine and the co-founder, Matt Agaris's name, and gives some explanation as to who we are, links back to our Twitter and Facebook profiles. So we are being as transparent as we can possibly be with this. So the whole, you know, fake accounts, inauthentic behavior, that argument is totally nonsense. And the fake account, well, of course, like anybody who's been on Facebook for long enough knows that they're very selective and arbitrary about their rule enforcement. So I personally have gotten so many 30-day bans over the past 6 years. I can't even count them anymore. I mean, they've been back-to-back sometimes. And like I said, for some of the most arbitrary things, I had a picture of ET that got flagged by their algorithms as hate speech, and that cost me a 30-day ban. So I didn't have a fake account. I didn't have a fake account, but I did have a backup account, and it used my real name. It was Jason Earl, which is my middle name. And I posted on that occasionally to some pages. So it's funny because they back us in a corner and then they point at us like, well, see, you're breaking our rules. But I mean, yeah, I'm a business owner. We have a job to do here. I'm trying to pay our employees. Like, we need those clicks. We need that reach. So of course, if they back us into a corner, what else are we going to try to do but preserve our business model, try to fight for it and work even harder? So, you know, like I was saying earlier, I think in many ways this is going to backfire on them. I've seen at least 5 new groups start up about this, all about the censorship, all about networking different page owners. So this is in many ways activating the activists and more or less giving us a common ground to come together and try to figure out how to either, build a different alternative social media network that's actually plausible and people want to use, and then B, how to continue fighting Facebook and staying on this platform, because like we were saying a few minutes ago, we realize this is important. This is where the normies are. This is where the reach is. This is how there's any chance resemblance of actually making money for your business within the journalism realm. So, you know, we're going to be fighting at all costs, and, you know, they can delete us, but they're not going to stop us. And, this is only motivating us even more.
That's really how I'm choosing to look at this. You know, it is as devastating as I'm sure this is for you. Because I'm stepping into this. I'm trying to play catch up with the amount of work and the kind of operation that you guys have. And that's why I have to say, you know, I commend you. Congratulations for even being able to pull something like this off. I just kind of want to touch on this, and then I'll jump on the other stuff that you were saying. You had mentioned having 4 full-time employees. That's what we're trying to do over here. And people have to understand that's, I think a lot of people, they say knowledge is power. Knowledge makes a man unfit to be a slave. This applies for anybody. And I think that's what everybody does whenever they start pursuing this type of knowledge. Alternative media is just one surface level way for us to kind of interface with everything that's going on. The sub thing underneath that is the researcher, is that activist, is that person who's doing the digging, who's doing the research, who's doing the searching, who's doing the cross-pollinating, who's doing all of the stuff. That's what this is all about. Everybody has that thirst for knowledge and that thirst for truth, and having, you know, something like the Free Thought Project, that's what it should be. That's what it embodies. That's what we're all doing. We're all trying to enrich our lives. And so getting to a point to where you are literally financing yourself to try to be better, I think, to a degree, that probably that really does scare the establishment. You got to think, you're a successful person with 3.1 million followers. You have a wide and diverse, successful business model. You're influencing other people to make better decisions, better informed decisions, which lead them to make a even better life than the one that they had when they came to you. And that's very dangerous to keeping to people who would like to keep us underneath their thumb. That's very dangerous to people who would prefer everybody be passive, ignorant, and uninvolved. And that's not what the Free Thought Project did. I'm not saying it incited any kind of violence or radicalized anybody. This is what knowledge does to somebody, is it makes them want to be better. And so to kind of pivot from that point to, you know, like you were talking about with Facebook, how we have to build a platform and how we have to fight Facebook at the same time. This is the rise of new media. This is what happens whenever, you know, they've caught on. Shucks, the jig is up. They realized that we started using their platform for what it wasn't intended for. They wanted us to share cat videos and our food pictures, and somehow you have been able to turn it into a successful alternative media operation, and that is very, very scary to them.
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. We were becoming the new media. There was, you know, before the 2016 election, there was no question about that. And in many ways, I feel like the whole Russia narrative, the whole,
Russian collusion.
Yeah, that was more or less just
a scapegoat.
In a way to desensitize people. So, you know, when they did start deleting American Facebook users who were trying to provide American information for Americans, there was no fight, there was no fuss. It's almost like, it was almost, you know, once again, putting on my tinfoil hat here, like this is all planned from the beginning, and, you know, I don't want to jump to that conclusion, but when you start looking at how this thing has all played out since the 2016 election, that's right around the time we started seeing some significant throttling to our pages. We started seeing our reach decrease quite significantly. So, you know, we definitely threatened them. Our first couple of years, 2014, 2013, 2015, were very successful. We were covering the Ferguson issue. We were covering Baltimore. Basically, like I said, providing that third narrative, and especially in the police brutality realm, police accountability realm, and we were successful. There was, like I said, people were hungry for that information. There was a demand for it. So we were reaching a lot of people, and like you had mentioned, we were becoming the new media. And whether it be the old media who caught on to this, whether it be the government, the Latin Council, the NSA, or whoever it was that's kind of started to orchestrate putting on the brakes to the new media, one way or another, it came to a head shortly after the election in 2016. And just to point out too, isn't it kind of ironic that Facebook has no qualms unpublishing a page called the Free Thought Project? I mean, it's literally advocating for free thought here, and apparently that's, I don't know, find the irony in that.
But I don't know. It's almost too comical. It's like, do they really not see like how they expose themselves by doing this? Like, it's that simple. It's called the Free Thought Project, and you're wanting us to think your way. And you guys don't see how much of Facebook doesn't see like how they're tone deaf. They don't see like how they really do it. What's really going on? They're so desensitized and so disconnected from their actual audience and from the people that are actually using these things. They don't see how they're just really shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah. Yes and no. I mean, you know, their Facebook's mission statement is, quote, giving people the power to build community and bring the world closer together, right? So I feel like that's what we were doing. I feel that's exactly what we were doing. But I feel like also over the years, they've had to kind of modify and manipulate their community standards in terms of service to appease left and the PC crusaders. And I think in turn, by doing that, which, you know, certainly goes to, you know, it goes on par with the media and everything else we've seen from the entertainment industry. By doing that, it's only... sorry, man, you're going to have to edit this part out. I kind of lost my train of thought there.
You're all good, man. You're all good. It's what we're basically talking about is how their very vague community guidelines don't really define all the things that we're supposed to be abiding by. They say you violated this community guideline. How?
Sorry about that. Yeah.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
It exactly. Well, they gave us, you know, fake excuses, but I think more or less we do feel like there was some influence specifically over Facebook by the Atlantic Council. So, you know, once again, it feels like their mission statement was what Facebook ideally was trying to go for, but over the years, especially after Zuckerberg got pressured by Congress earlier this year, they've more or less had to adapt and modify exactly what it is that they claim their community standards are, and those are so vague and arbitrary that they're selectively enforced, right? So there's been plenty of pages who I would say are on the left. And of course, just to be clear, we're not on the right, we're not on the left. We kind of feel like we're in between. We're neither of those. But, you know, there's been plenty of pages on the left. We've seen posts. And it makes me scratch my head because there's no type of accountability. There's no type of punishment. There's no types of bans for them. And of course, I'm not asking for that. I'm not saying there should be. But what I'm saying is there should be some consistent enforcement with how they, you know, go about this. And it seems like that's not the case. So because we're, you know, pro-accountability, anti-police brutality, anti-state, we were on the chopping block, and we were one of the first people after Alex Jones as well. So it's really hard to tread the waters when you really don't know exactly what it is that they want from you. I mean, they say, well, you're posting too much, you're not posting enough, you're posting too many videos, you're not posting enough video. I mean, their algorithms are so nebulous and vague, it's really hard to understand what it is. And somehow we figured out a way around that. Somehow we kept providing content that our audience liked. And because, as they say, we evaded their enforcement, we're now being finally punished. So, you know, they called us fake news. That was their first attempt to smear us over the years, the past 2 years. Now they're calling us spam, and they just had to wipe us off the map completely because they finally figured out there was really no way to stop us.
And I think that's, you know, a lot of different things that kind of touch on right there. I noticed, you know, back in 2017, you had things like the Bilderberg meeting where they were trying to set up this whole AI grid and everything that we kind of see like unfolding right now. Back in 2015, you had Jade Helm 15, to where some people will tell you it was military equipment being moved, or it was the testing or the deployment of other AI systems. I guess what I'm trying to say is this: what we're seeing right now with social media is we're seeing them in live time edit these community guidelines, edit these standards, edit these changes. We're seeing this in a weird way, this George Orwell 1984 constant present, to where we're constantly trying to redefine what is socially acceptable today. Right. What happened yesterday? We're not thinking about that. It's what's socially relevant today. And that's very, very dangerous, because they have us jumping through all kinds of hoops, hurdles, loops, and all kinds of different things to try to operate within a certain parameter. I tell people this all the time. You know, we're going through an awakening process right now, as approved by Facebook and Twitter's 140 characters approved statements. They're trying to have us do all these different things and funnel so much, distill so much information into such a very narrow pathway, and it's very dangerous. It's very scary too. And you had touched on this before, how the navigation of it, because we're not left, we're not right. We actually expose the left and the right and the state. We just say all of this is just a whole, it's a lot of it's political theater. There's some stuff where we should have serious accountability about it. We should actually pay attention to things like this, but we try not to align ourselves with the left or the right. We try to just, you know, advocate, as your organization says, free thought, not necessarily being restrained or conformed to one ideology. And I think it's very strange, you know, that we're seeing this sort of digital inquisition take place, you know, like with the whole, with I think it's like 1920s with the Red Scare, with the McCarthyism, you know, where everybody's a Russian. We're essentially seeing the same thing take place here on social media, just in the digital cyberspace. And so what this does is this actually purges the people within these systems trying to expose all this injustice and all this corruption, and it if anything, aligns more of those people who are within the system to their actual goals. What we're seeing right now is a separation between, like, people who are actually trying to put out conscious content, independent media, alternative news, and things like this, to wake people up to what is going on in this authoritarian system that they're creating. And I think that's, to me, one of the things that a lot of people don't talk about. We're seeing how Facebook is literally being handed the power of the First Amendment, it's being handed the power of nations, and people aren't pointing that out. They have the literal ability to shut down organizations, destroy people's livelihoods and lives with an algorithm, And that's dangerous that people aren't pointing that out.
I agree, my friend. And, you know, this purge that happened on the 11th of this month, almost 2 weeks ago, I mean, I feel like it was the epitome of a police state show of force, right? So this is, I mean, it was really no different than, you know, police rolling out with their MRAPs and, you know, black protective armor and their batons and more or less just proving that they have the authority over us. So, yeah, I'm right there with you. It definitely is more or less, you know, like book burning in the digital age of what's going on. And because this is the public square in so many ways, it really does make it challenging for us to even keep our ideas and our ideology alive. And I think a lot of people don't have any objection to this, or at least some of the people within our network, because they do feel like that Facebook is a private entity. And, you know, that's been an argument that's very tired and worn thin as of now, because we've even covered it a handful of times. Facebook is not wholly a private actor. I mean, they've colluded with...
Tell them about the Atlantic Council. Tell them, Jason.
Sure. Well, I'm no expert, but the National Security Agency, the NSA, and the FBI more or less teamed up with Facebook back in October 2010, which says a lot. It proves that they've kind of foresaw this coming. But anyway, they teamed up with Facebook to develop more or less techniques to turn Facebook into a surveillance tool. And as of this year, as of May of this year, Facebook actually announced in their newsroom that they were partnering with the Atlantic Council, which is more or less a front group for mega banks, huge corporations, the military industrial complex. You know, I could go down the list of names, Raytheon, B of A,
Lockheed Martin.
Lockheed Martin, JP Morgan Chase.
Aren't the Rockefeller brothers involved too?
Yeah. And not to mention, there's also influence from the U.S. Air Force, Army, Department of State. So,
and this is all who's financing this basically government sponsored censorship.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I would say sponsoring. I don't know the direct, you know, if they're actually receiving any funding or not, but certainly at their direction. And this, once again, is masked with the guise of trying to remove voting manipulation, election manipulation, Russian influence, all that, right? So that was kind of what Facebook had claimed. This was their attempt to clean up their platform from those things. So now we're seeing, you know, just a few months later, that we were on the top of their list as being influencers, and the police, the Free Thought Project, the anti-media, handful of others, and like I said earlier, you know, they're making these kind of vague, ambiguous claims as to being the reason why they've taken us off, which it doesn't take much to really connect the dots, and once we start fleshing out their excuses and how they're totally inaccurate and wrong, anybody who's critically thinking more or less could figure out that Facebook is directly being, you know, directly being influenced by the Atlantic Council. So it's not a private entity, unfortunately. At one point it was, but the influence and direction from NSA, from the government, from, you know, front groups like the Atlantic Council, it really isn't private.
And a lot of people, too, you know, I'll say this and then we'll pivot into some other subjects real quick. A lot of people have to understand that with the changes that we've seen going with Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping, you know, we've even heard recently that some of his shareholders want to dethrone Mark Zuckerberg, you know, take him off of take him off CEO. You know, they don't want him any there. They don't want him there anymore. We've seen a lot of different changes happen with Facebook to the point to where, you know, it's not what it was initially built upon. You know, we're seeing all kinds of different things happen. And so this is, to a degree, like you just said, you know, logically thinking, this is the kind of turning point that was eventually, this is the eventuality. This had to happen at some point, you know, the same way when we were talking about before at the start of the show, you know, you're very cautious about putting your name and all this other information about you in this kind of arena, so to speak, because for the crazy whack jobs, authoritarian people who are out there, you know, they could come off and come off you. You know, I don't want to talk about FEMA camps and all this other stuff, but this is all, you know, stuff that, that pertains to a lot of this. You know, we're just in a modern day version of our own trials and tribulations. And so if I could, you know, you had pointed out how in relation to some of the censorship, how it basically was a digital authoritarian police state, you know, how they're just saying, you know what, no more. You said you also run the page, or you ran the page Police the Police. If you could, what kind of got you started with police accountability, with you know, just looking at this type of stuff and kind of being that digital activist to put this type of stuff out there?
Sure, man. And to be clear, we do have new Facebook pages that we've created. So there's the Free Thought Project 2.0 and Police the Police 2.0. So anybody who's listening to this, please feel free to like those and support us.
I'll put the links in the description bar below for all the pages.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that. So, you know, I don't think my story is anything special, which in some ways kind of makes it special, but I just started kind of tuning in. I recently, back in 2010, the iPad was brand new, and I saved up some money and bought an iPad, right? So I hadn't really spent too much time on YouTube or trying to really search it out or understand and really the power of what it could harness. And by 2011, the Occupy Wall Street protests started happening in September of 2011. And at that point, I found it hard not to pay attention to the protests and what was going on. And I saw police brutality, which now in hindsight was relatively mild compared to a lot of the stuff that we've covered over the years. But I saw protesters being thrown around. I saw old women being pushed by thug police. I saw, you know, people my age, people who look like me, being arrested. And to me, it just didn't feel right. I didn't like the idea that police were treating protesters and people in general this way. So I realized very shortly after that that I needed to get involved somehow. I didn't know exactly what that looked like, but I wanted to somehow put forth my effort to try to make some change. And I got involved with some local activist groups, and it didn't really feel like it was going anywhere. It felt more or less like we were just standing on the side of the street with some protest signs, and that it wasn't entirely effective. I felt like kind of silly after doing it. I felt like I'd accomplished something, but I also felt like it didn't reach the amount of people that I wanted to reach. I didn't feel like I had much influence. I didn't have it didn't have the effect, didn't have the opportunity for a conversation, which was sorely needed. We get some honks, we get some thumbs up, we get some thumbs down, we get some people screaming at us, profanities. But it didn't take me long to kind of realize that the digital realm was kind of the new place for activism, and that's how I was actually going to be able to reach people. So I think it was 2012 when I started Police the Police. We started the Free Thought Project in 2013 when I crossed paths with my partner, Matt Agarist, who is also the editor-in-chief, a great guy, hard worker. And 2012, it was very, you know, slow going. I was still learning myself. I did kind of wait a little while just to, so I had some kind of understanding, so I wasn't just throwing out information and hoping it was correct or whatever. You know, I did some research. I took the time and energy to really dive deep into a lot of these subjects, but I was still learning. And so that was more or less the beginning of Police the Police. And like I said, you know, that doesn't really sound like anything special, and it's because it's really not. I was just somebody who was motivated, who saw injustice, who saw a world that I felt like needed some type of change, and so that's why I got involved.
A common man turned into a hero, basically.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go that far, but somebody who's definitely dedicated, and to this day, I'm, you know, just as motivated. You know, there was times throughout the past 6 years that, sure, get a little burnt out, to take a little bit of a step back, but I'm just as motivated now, if not more motivated, to continue spreading this information. And just the recent round of publicity after these pages accounts got taken down just kind of reassures and kind of verifies that we did make a difference. We were reaching people. There are plenty of people who've even reached out to me and said, you know, thank you so much. You opened my eyes. I was a raging bootlicker. I was a neocon. I was all for these wars. And you guys were the ones who changed that. You opened up my eyes. And I can't tell you, man, every time we get those messages, I mean, we share them around our group. We share them internally within our chats. And it's just like, it's the best feeling. And even if it's just a handful of people, you know, at least we're doing something to try to wake people up from the slumber that we're indoctrinated into basically from birth, right? From public schooling on. So
and I think that's, again, you know, like I said, just somebody, a common man turned hero. You know, people don't understand how, like, that's, I think you said it perfectly. You're like, my story isn't uncommon, and I think that's what makes it special, is because there are a lot of people who are in the position that we were, that we're still in. Let's be real. I'm still there. I'm still the student. You know, we have the show, we have the page, we have the site, we have all the stuff that we're doing, but I'm still learning every single day from operations like yourselves, from the anti-media to the police to police to everybody that's out there still doing this type of stuff. I am learning every single day. And whenever you get those kinds of messages saying, hey, you know, you helped me. You help me turn off from this, or hey, you know, I'm not doing this anymore, or hey, you know, I actually looked up and saw a chemtrail for once. Oh my gosh, you know, I actually paid attention. That's an invigorating feeling, because you got to think, you know, we're still the student in a lot of ways, and being able to get that kind of, not necessarily validation or verification or even affirmation, but to get that kind of feeling from somebody else that you've positively influenced them, that's something that I don't think a lot of people can understand. And so, I'm going to give you guys my time and say, really, thank you. You know, and I had told you this before the show, and I'll tell you this while we're doing the show as well. If you did not do what you did, we would not have the content that we have to cover the things that we discuss. The police state, you know, what went on in Ferguson. I started making videos about that, and you know, I experienced all kinds of crazy stuff with that. Jade Helm 15, UX 16. Operation Gotham Shield, all the stuff that came with it. You know, if you guys did not do the work that you did, my audience wouldn't have the type of stuff that they have. They wouldn't have some of the viewpoints that they share with other people. And I think that's a very, very powerful thing. A lot of people don't understand how we take it for granted that somebody like you is going to be out there trying to wake people up. We take it for granted that somebody's going to do the time, do the effort, do the work, do all this extra stuff to try to influence somebody positively, and that's not how this works. While this all comes from a place of compassion, the other half of the equation has to be action. Right. Once you learn these things, then what do? Like you just said, like with the protests, you know, I think everybody's been there. You know, they're like, God, this is, while this is nice, we're not discounting protests, there's more that I could be doing. My talents could be used elsewhere. And that's kind of where we're seeing right now with all these protests and this violence. We're seeing people who genuinely have compassion and want to see things get better. We're seeing them being radicalized and used for an even worse agenda. And I think that's crazy. We're having to have people step out of their shell, being put in these uncomfortable positions to try to help everybody else. And what's even worse is there are some people who are so indoctrinated that they're actually calling for the very same censoring of the people who are trying to remove the chains that they have on them.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Well, I think you're totally right, man. Never stop climbing that mountain of enlightenment, right? I mean, that's, like you said, a lot of what we're doing. We're constantly sharing information with each other. We're constantly researching. And, you know, I'm not an expert on all these topics. I mean, there might be a couple of topics like police accountability, police brutality, that I've really dived deep into. But I'm literally just a guy sitting in my office who's sharing information. I'm highly motivated, you know. So, you know, I've always tried to endorse the idea of using the internet to self-educate, to empower yourself, and then after you've done that, share that information and inspire others to do the same. You know, I mean, if anybody's listening to this, if you want to get involved, this is an info war we're in. You know, this is, like Alex Jones says, and I'm not a huge fan of Alex Jones. In fact, it's been years since I've listened to him, but he's right. This is an info war, and we need people to be representing our sides of the equation, our points of view. And without that, we are going to lose the info war. And it's really not terribly difficult to figure out how to be effective in this. We have the tools at our disposal. Yes, we might be deleted eventually, but think about all the people that you could, you know, challenge, all the people that you could affect, all the people that you could plant seeds in, you know, and I feel like that's in itself very empowering. So, you know, I personally, I learned Photoshop. I never took a class. I never did anything besides just tinker around on it until I got somewhat decent on it. Same thing with video editing, with Premiere Pro. Anybody can do this. Anybody who wants to try to make change, anybody who wants to try to get this information out there, on your free time, that's what I did. Just work your job, work your 8 hours, go home, and start making memes, start building your account. Get this information out there. If we don't, we're going to lose this info war. And to be honest, this has opened so many doors for me. I was able to leave my shitty 9-to-5 job. I was able to do this full time because I put in the time and effort to actually build a small audience, which in turn got me connected with some writers. So this is something that's very attainable and you know, accessible for many people. It's more of a fact of just showing up. You know, they say half of success is just showing up, and it's just being motivated, putting all the bullshit aside, trying to prioritize your time here and there where you can, and actually focus on trying to figure out how to reach people through, you know, these tools that we have for us. I mean, I certainly didn't have any money before I started any of this. Not that I'm, you know, I'm not rich by any means now, but you know, I was doing this, I started these accounts because they were free. I could start these accounts and not have to pay a dime and try to influence people, try to get these different perspectives out there. So it's very attainable. And if I could urge anybody who happens to be listening and how to get involved, this is how you do it. And believe me, you'll eventually get better. You'll eventually get more followers. Your posts will start to get more likes. You just have to look at the patterns. You have to figure out what works, what doesn't work. And, you know, just like anything else, the hard work will pay off eventually.
You tell him, Jason. You tell him. Because I swear, like, people, it's not that it's, I'm not saying that this is easy, but you have to want it. You have to want it. You have to show up. You have to be there. Like, I tell people these days, they're like, gosh, you know, how do you do all this? I tell them, you know, I'm only doing what was done to me. I'm only doing what was done to me. I read those articles. I watched those Illuminati conspiracy YouTube videos. I watched Alex Jones. I stopped watching Alex Jones. I looked at other things. I read other people's accounts of police brutality. I've read other people's accounts of government tyranny. I saw all this other stuff going on. And then I said, you know what? Let me try to make this into a legible manner so people can understand what's going on and so that we can have a formal discussion. This is not hard, but you have to want it. You have to know why you're going into this. You have to know why you're putting your energy towards something, why you're trying to create something. And so, again, I'm only doing what was done to me because I did see all these other people talking about this stuff saying, whoa. What about this, though? What about this? What about climate change? What about the police? What about the paranormal? What about the military equipment? What about the cashless society? What about prophecy? What about any of this? No, nobody's talking about it? Okay. Well, how about we talk about it and, you know, we'll kind of go from there. That was going to be my next question. Did you think covering police brutality and police accountability would lead you to doing what you're doing now? Simply by following one thing, one thread of injustice, did you think that it would lead to where you are today?
Negative. You know, I did see some groups that were starting off, like Cop Block, who kind of gave me, like you're saying, that motivation and inspiration and somewhat of an idea of guidance, you know, to what it is that the market is trying to provide in this sense. But no, I mean, I never had any idea that it would lead to this. I never thought I'd be talking to Rolling Stone or, you know, Reason or RT or any of these people. And to be honest, you know, I was behind the scenes for years. I didn't really want to put my name or face out there because that's, you know, not for me what it was about. I'd rather get the information out there And you know, there's certainly no lack of personalities within our movement here that do want some kind of recognition and name recognition, you know. So that wasn't me, but I feel like luckily there has been enough people who paid attention, who followed our work, who did enough digging and researching to kind of figure out who I was and reached out to me. And that's opened a lot of doors in many ways. So just like anything else in life, if you dedicate yourself to it, if you focus on it, and if you're motivated enough, you will have success. I'm a big believer in that. If you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything. So this is just another example of that. And I couldn't be, I couldn't have aligned myself with like a better cause, in my opinion. I mean, the information we cover with the Free Thought Project is certainly very important, especially the anti-war, pro-accountability, economic stuff. But my passion has always been police accountability. And I don't know if I have some kind of underlying sense of, distrust in authority or what. But
it's shared over here.
But that certainly has been my passion. And I think it's important that people do find that passion, because there's going to be a host of different injustices in this world that we can touch on. But if you want to become an expert on something, you probably have to narrow it down to like one or two of those things. And not to say that you can't have an opinion on those other things, but for me, it's always been the police accountability side of things.
And what I'll say this, and then we'll kind of pivot into the anti-war, police accountability, even election interference and stuff like that. I'm curious what your thoughts are on it. I want to say this to kind of wrap it up. What better service is there than to literally try to help people enrich, enhance, and make better decisions in their lives? What better service is there? We are literally trying to help remove the shackles that have been placed on people and saying, hey, you have the answers. Here's some more answers. We want you to make informed decisions. We're trying to help. What better service is there?
We're doing the good work, man, and I'm not religious, you know, but we are certainly doing the good work here. And thanks for reminding me of that. You know, it's very easy to get caught up in the negativity and vitriol being on social media. And so many people are, like we've said numerous times, so deeply indoctrinated that just challenging their perceptions of reality, their truths, causes a lot of cognitive dissonance and anger. So it's very rare that we actually get that opportunity to pat ourselves on the back or remind ourselves that we are doing very important work, because there's so many people that don't understand that and don't necessarily see that. You know, they see the establishment point of view, they see the media narratives, and we're contradicting that. So to many people, we're the crazy ones, and they don't want to take the time or energy to try to understand why it is that we believe those things, or why we have this specific ideology or lack of ideology. And it's easy to go along to get along, right? I mean, there's been millions of people throughout the centuries who've done that, and unfortunately that's kind of led us to where we're at now. And because there's so many people who are desensitized, who are apathetic, we've gotten to the place where we're at now. And I'm not one to just sit back and watch, and not one to be able to feed in and participate in things that I know are lies or dishonest or immoral, like taxation, for instance. So that's, you know, obviously a very, that triggers people. That word in itself has a lot of connotation. So
I kind of shudder when I hear taxation. Yuck.
But you know, it couldn't be any more clear cut how that's a perfect example of how people have been indoctrinated, right? I mean, just because these people put this label around themselves and call themselves government, that means that they're allowed to steal from us for the collective. And of course, this is like on like a sliding scale as well. So you know, 1 year it's one amount of taxes, the next it's whatever they want to arbitrarily bump it up to. So I think once you start to actually look at a lot of these subjects and try to understand them and why people like Ron Paul call for the
The Fed?
Then the Fed, the IRS to be abolished, the educational system to be abolished.
Military, industrial comp, all of it. Basically everything.
It sounds crazy, right? It sounds crazy to the normal person. And
you're caught up in the system.
Right. And if you don't take the time to examine these things and understand exactly where Ron Paul's coming from when he says these things, then yeah, of course he's going to sound like a nutcase. But once you start understanding that all this stuff is based in first principles, and there are legitimate reasons, whether it be lack of effectiveness or efficiency or immorality, either way, it's not beneficial for society. So that's more what we're trying to do, is just plant those seeds for people to ask their own questions. Nobody wants to tell them what to do. Nobody wants to tell them what to think. But if you are able to at least plant those seeds and get them to think for themselves and actually motivate themselves to ask these questions, then I believe that's where we're going to see the most success.
I agree, my friend. I definitely agree. And again, like I said, I don't think there's any better use of our time. I really couldn't see myself doing anything else other than trying to figure this out. Every day is a blessing, and it's even more it's a challenging blessing. That's the thing, is like you're blessed, but then you're also challenged and you're encouraged, you're invigorated. It's a powerful feeling doing all of this. And so I'm right there with you, brother. So if I could, let's kind of pivot, you know, speaking about, you know, the individual versus, I don't want to say collectivism, but this belief in authority, this authoritarianism, the statism that we see kind of just permeating throughout society. Now, and I'll say this and I'll go to the question. I kind of see what we think of as the left, and I say that in air quotes. We see the left kind of aligning with identity politics and the government. I see the right being so far up Trump's rear end that they can't see how far aligned they both are with authoritarianism. To me, I personally think this is very dangerous, because not only do we have institutionalized authoritarianism, but we also have organized chaos, and both of these wolves are trying to decide how they're going to eat us. And that's why, again, operations like the Free Thought Project are so important, because it points out and exposes the left-right paradigm, which leads me to my next question. Do you think that that's do you think that was one of the purposes behind the purge on Facebook, was to remove operations like your own, so that you couldn't kind of, I guess, filter the chaos that might be coming? Like, what do you think will come with the election? They're really hyping this up. They're really making it much more than I think it needs to be. But I also feel like this gives us the signs that we need to see to kind of filter or to decipher the coming events. And we could talk about, you know, martial law and the police state and stuff like that as well. But what's your thoughts on that?
So, yeah, it feels like they purged both groups from the left and the right. I can't say it was like one ideology specifically that they targeted. But it did seem to have an underlying theme of anti-state, pro-accountability. So, we've always tried to bridge the divide, and that's been a huge focus for us. In fact, we've always been so ambiguous as to where we stand that, you know, one day, I think after the purge, we had RT calling us left wing, we had Zero Hedge calling us right wing. So we've done a good job of really trying to steer clear of those labels that do divide us, and more focus on the information at hand, so people don't have that knee-jerk reaction to, you know, instantly label it written by a libtard or, you know, just a hardcore right-wing Trump supporter or whatever. Those labels serve their purpose, and who knows if it's intentional, but there is certainly a theme when it comes to the pages that were purged. It did seem like there were the pages that were anti-state, pro-accountability, and trying to bridge that divide, not, you know, playing into the rampant tribalism, which seems to be kind of fueling the political narrative these days.
I think that's crazy. I didn't even think about the concept of the tribalism. You know, how they have us literally caught up in race, creed, color, all this other nonsense. And again, that's why we need to expose the whole left-right paradigm, because it's bullcrap. It's more divisive. It's more divisive tactics to really keep us away from looking at like the actual true threat. These people in power. You know, you got to think too. Just as like a timing for everybody. You know, think about this. Whenever economies collapse, whenever anything goes bad, they always blame it on the poor people or the immigrants. They never blame it on the people who were in control. They never blame it on the rich. They never blame it on the people who had the actual power. They blame it on the disenfranchised. And as we're talking about this, you know, we have thousands of migrants or immigrants that are coming here, you know, and we just yesterday they said allegedly that there was a bomb in George Soros's mailbox. They say that there's also one in Hillary Clinton's today as we're recording this. And it's this progressive chaos that I see them putting out there that I find dangerous. And when you have, you know, organizations who are saying, look, we need to stop all of this. And we need to calm down and actually have rational discussions about this. And like, you know what? This guy over here, he's Russian. We need to get him out of here. And then they kick this person out that's trying to foster discussion. And that's very dangerous because now, as you said before, we are in this tribalistic mindset. It's us against them. We're in our emotions. We're not critically thinking. We're not using free thought.
Right. And the most ironic part, too, is that we have the left pushing for these, identity politics types of legislation. And then we have the right totally justifying it because now it's law. So therefore, we have to abide by it, even if it's their victimless policies or victimless crimes. I find that really ironic. Yet neither side really see how this is troubling and only leading us further down the road of tyranny. They can slap a fake news label on us, or call us spam, or call us Russians, and I think those of us who are critically thinking can kind of see past that, but the problem is that there's so many people who still aren't able to kind of see it for what it is, and I think they somewhat like participating in the right-left divide. So much of Yes. your identity these days really depends on, you know, not... What football team? I mean, yeah, that used to be a huge part of it, but within the past couple of years, it's like, well, are you a Trump supporter, or are you on the left, or are you a liberal, you know, or are you a progressive?
And what's so weird is it happened just like that, in the blink of an eye. I remember, like, a few years ago, nobody cared about politics. Nobody cared about anything. You know, they wanted to know what Ray J or Kim Kardashian or Kanye, they wanted to know about Yeezus and Yeezys. They didn't care about politics. They didn't care about climate change. They didn't care about police accountability. They didn't care about what was going on in Afghanistan, Syria, Iran. They didn't care about that. They didn't care about people being shot up or locked up in the prison industrial complex. They didn't care about that. But it happened just like that. And now, because you have people who have done the years worth of research, who understand the root of it, you know, you see these people who are putting out logical, factual talking points, and because that doesn't fit with this mainstream narrative of radicalized emotional groupthink. I don't even know identity politics, rampant tribalism. I don't even know what you would want to call this stuff, because it's been ramped into overdrive, and I think that's what's scary. We're led to this kind of information over time, you know, like you gradually discover different truths. But when people act as if they already have the truth and then go out there and then tell you you're wrong, that's not operating from a place of knowledge, compassion, understanding, or even intellectual honesty. That's that's acting from a place of mental immaturity. I don't know what you would call it. I think a lot of it reminds me of 1984, you know, of like the 2 minutes of hate, to where people are just screaming at the screen because they were told to.
Yeah, you know, there was about 6 months in 2016 where I was like really depressed and very despondent about the future of this country. And I think you're right. I think I had the epiphany, and I feel like this has always been something that I've acknowledged, but it came to a head right when I started dealing with some of that hardcore depression, is that there's a severe lack of intellectual integrity in this country. People would rather be on the winning team. People would rather be on the team that hollers the loudest. You know, they don't care if they're actually right or wrong. If they have the talking points, if they have the soundbite that they can run with, that's all they need. if they can identify with somebody like Trump or Obama, because let's be honest, there's plenty of that as well with Obama, then it doesn't matter what these people do. They can be demagogues. They can promise the moon and the stars and the sun and not deliver. And people will still justify their existence, their behavior. And not only that, they'll go to bat for them. So intellectual integrity is basically dead in this country. I hate to admit it. If there was a way to plant seeds and try to revamp that or reinvigorate that in our society, I would love to know how, and I'd be the first in line to try to figure out or to try to do that, excuse me. But I think it's safe to say, I mean, you've probably had plenty of conversation with people on Facebook and Instagram, and it's like the first thing they do will insult you or drop a fallacy of some sort or an assertion or assumption, you know? And it's like, boy, who taught you how to argue? Do you know what an argument is? Do you understand how to base your opinion, your argument and logic and reason and evidence? It surely doesn't feel that way. And it feels like that makes up 99% of the people on the internet. Unfortunately, of course, that 1% of people who are not really sure about which direction they lean or where their political ideology they identify with, those are the people that we try to kind of target, and hopefully they have the discernment to not only take in our information and other people's information, but to research it and not just take our word for it, but to actually do the due diligence of what they need to do to verify that information. But going back to my thought, it seems like there's very little hope for having an intellectual revolution or evolution in this country. That's what Ron Paul called for back in 2012, and here we are six years later, and it sure seems like those calls fell on deaf ears.
Yeah, it seems I'm not gonna lie, I'll be honest with you, it does seem like we're kind of at like a weird crossroad to where people are stupid, and you can't blame them. That's what I've learned. People are stupid. People are ignorant. People are in denial. People are lost. People are afraid. And yeah. I really understand that, man. I really do. But that's why the only thing that I can do all I can tell people to do is get informed. You're only afraid because you don't know what's going to happen to you. You don't know what's going to happen to what's surrounding you. You're filling yourself up with fear because we don't know what's happening. We have an idea of what's happening, but we don't have like a plan of what we're doing for ourselves. And so that's also the point of like why we have to come together. Is because if they can keep us separated from one another, uninformed, unacknowledged, uninvolved, then yeah, for sure we're going to think, God, what are we doing this for? We're going to think, none of this has a purpose. I'm pushing a boulder uphill. And I'll be honest, there are times doing this to where I'm looking at so many different articles and so many different outlets all the time. I'm just like, God, this is crazy. We are really, really screwed. Mm-hmm. But then if that were the case, how would we be having so much success? If we were really that screwed, how would we be having so much success? And so we, being in this position, and I know you deal with this as well, we're kind of stuck in that schism sometimes to where it's like, God, I wish I could just give up and take all the money and all this information, all my books, and just run away. I go to the every because I shut down on the weekends. I try to go outdoors as much as I can, and Sunday rolls around and I'm just like, do I want to go back? Like, I can always say I lost my phone somewhere, and just kind of disappear, and then it eats at me. Like, if you leave, who's gonna step up? You were you when somebody needed you. You were the person that you were waiting on. You were the person that you needed. You were waiting for somebody else to save you. You were the exact person that you were looking for. And what's even more crazy to think about is you are somebody's perfect. You are what somebody's looking for, even with all of your imperfections. And I'm sure you've learned this doing this as well. You understand the human psyche, psychology, and sociology to such a degree that it's crazy. You see people, you see the way that they act, and you it's crazy. you just discover things about humanity that you never would have discovered by just being a spectator. And all of the work that we're doing here, this is definitely not a spectator sport. This is an active active participant ongoing event.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there, man.
But I'll be, and you said it as well. The intellectual integrity that's going on in the country right now. People want to just be right. People don't care about whether or not that right is wrong. People just want to be right, you know. I think that's what's dangerous. A perfect example of this is with the kids in cages. People being in these internment camps through Obama's presidency, through Bush's presidency, and now into Trump's presidency. People were so caught up in saying, "Oh, this wasn't Trump," that they're forgetting about the general fact that we have kids in cages. Period.
Right, exactly, man. Yeah, I think we had a meme along those lines, and I think that's exactly it. I think we're able to turn a blind eye to some of these horrible atrocities just because they're couched in a narrative from either the left or the right, and it becomes more of a political argument rather than one of humanity or morality. And that's certainly dangerous. And like you said, it has changed people. And I think it's that tribalism. But I think you touched on something important a few minutes ago. And I don't know if it's everybody's necessarily lost. You said it perfectly. You said that people aren't necessarily stupid or dumb. It's just that they're lost. And I think that's accurate because you can almost everything that you see that's happening on like the public forum, it's always based in either fear or love, and it's always majority of the time fear. That's what motivates a lot of these people, and everything is essentially based in fear and love. But the mainstream media, the politicians, they've done a wonderful job of really stoking that fear, and that works out great for them because therefore, people, us plebs, we need people to protect us. We need the government to take care of us. So that, offers a great opportunity for them to put themselves out there as heroes or protectors. But it does really take the consciousness level of the conversation considerably down. And so, when people like us are trying to point out the fact that it's not a left or a right issue, it's simply immoral regardless, that gets lost, it's certainly not the talking point that's provided by the media anyway.
We have law enforcement, we have military, we have, I'm sure, intelligence agencies. Actually, no, I'm not even sure. I know. We have intelligence agencies that are listening. I've told you about it before the show. And people are indeed lost. And I think that's one of the reasons why, again, this is an honor to be here in this capacity in people's lives. And the reason why I mentioned all those people who are involved in authority before this is because what we're doing right here is we're reforming those people over there. Okay. They work for us. They work for us. If taxes and all this are true, then they work for us. And what we're doing right here is having a discussion on how they should be treating the people. And at the same time, exposing the very same people that they're working for. With Ferguson, with the Ferguson riots, whenever I was making the videos regarding that, I could not believe, that they were tear gassing people, that they were shooting rubber bullets, that they had rolled out NRAPs, that they have officers on the street. I thought that was martial law, and to me, that's ridiculous. That is an excessive show of force. But to some people, and this is how crazy the things are these days, to some people, they see that kind of force and they say, it's time for me to give up. I need to start kissing the boot of the state. I give up. I'm not going to fight for your right towards freedom. I'm not going to fight for your right towards liberty. I'm not going to fight for your right to even live. I'm going to see all this show of force, and this is what ties into the fear. I'm going to submit. And what we're doing right now is not submitting. What we're doing right now is we're in a, and this might sound kind of weird, like in a sadomasochistic way, we're like, give us the pain. Give us the pain and watch us turn it into something better. You think this is going to hurt us? All this is going to do is refine us. And this is what happens when you operate from a place of love. You take these hits, you take these bruises, you take these punches, and you turn it into something better, because you start to put yourself in a position that other people have been in who have been hurt, who have been victimized, and you're saying, you know what, you can get over this. And that's what we're doing right now, is we're trying to say all this authoritarianism that they're trying to push onto us, we're pushing through it. We're creating that new tomorrow. Yes, it is very bleak right now, but that's why we're being tested. We are literally being tested. How much, and I haven't got around to doing like a broadcast on this, so you're going to hear a little bit of some pre-recorded thoughts, so to speak. You know, it's like, how committed to this are we? How much do you actually want to help people, this service that you're talking about? Are you willing to have everything stripped away from you that defines you? Are you willing to put yourself through the ringer in so many different ways? Are you willing to give up dreams to achieve new dreams to help those people? How committed are you? And I truly believe that's what we're seeing right now. You got to think, your page getting taken down is just affirmation of the work that you've done, Jason. And that's why all I can do is clap for you, my friend, and say thank you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And the powers to be, I mean, this have always been at war with liberty. I mean, the battle for liberty and tyranny is something that's been constant throughout the ages, and this is just the modern version of it now. It seems to be increasing at a, you know, spectacular rate right now, unfortunately, and I think some of that has to do with technology. There's other probably factors that, attribute to that as well. But, like I said earlier, we're fighting the good fight. This is very important. This is something that those of us who know history, those of us who can understand where the future is going, we feel it very important to get involved in this. And those of us who have integrity, those of us who aren't willing to, or aren't worried about, you know, being targeted or whatever. I mean, it certainly takes some bravery, I'm not going to lie, especially when you start kind of moving up the ranks, I guess, a little bit, and your name starts getting out there a little bit more. But, this is a battle for liberty. This is a battle for peace. And I wouldn't be, happier going to battle for anything else. This is so important for our society, for humanity, for civilization. And maybe the levers of tyranny will eventually come down again. It's hard to say. I mean, there's always a battle for that. But in this time, in this day and age, I think, like you said, there's probably no more important work that we can be doing than this.
I agree, my friend. It has most certainly been a pleasure having you on. Speaking of work, where can the people find more of your good work?
Sure. So we're pretty much on every social media outlet you can think of. Our website's thefreethoughtproject.com. We're on Instagram. We're on Google+. We're on Twitter, Tumblr. Not Twitter anymore. We're on pretty much everywhere. Follow my personal Twitter. I just started it a couple weeks ago, just in case they do take down my Facebook account. It's Jason Bassler 1. Also, come check out the Free Thought Project group that we have on Facebook. That actually increased over 6,000 fans in the past couple weeks. So, we're still finding, we're still getting information out there. Our reach isn't nearly what it once was, but I give it a year or two, we'll be back reaching significant numbers again. So I really do appreciate you having me on. It was a great conversation.
Oh, no, the pleasure was mine. And are you guys also, speaking of mine, are you on Minds.com or Steemit as well?
Yes, sir. So we're on both of those. The people at Minds have actually been really awesome to us. They've gone out of their way to show us how the platform works, to send us a few tokens, get us verified. So we're actually going to push all of our efforts over to Minds. We'll still be posting on other accounts, but basically that's our new focus. And I would highly suggest any of your listeners who are looking for a replacement to Facebook or Twitter, check out Minds. It's still a little rough around the edges. They have a couple of bugs to work out, but there's a lot of promise there. I really do foresee it being the next big social media platform within the next year and a half or so.
Yeah, I'm actually thoroughly surprised with Minds as well. I don't know how it's been able to be underrated. It's actually very, very smooth. I like it as well. But thank you, Jason. This has definitely been a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, sir.
I can't wait to have you back on. You have yourself a wonderful day.
Thank you, man. You as well. Talk to you later.
Stay strong out there.
All right, brother. You as well. Thank you, man. Peace.
And there he goes, Jason Bassler of the Free Thought Project. I know we went over a whole lot, and it's important that you guys really understand the face of the threat that we were actually up against. Share this episode. If this actually helped you, it doesn't matter if this actually helped you. Share because we're trying to get the word out. Share because alternative media is changing, and we are taking a part in history. So I want to say thank you, Jason, for coming on. It was most certainly a pleasure, and I cannot wait to have him back on. All of this work that we do for you guys, it is so that we can keep you informed and empowered. This all comes from a place of love, not fear, and we have to understand the adversity that we're going up against. However, that's all I really have for you guys and gals. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below. And as always, guys and gals, stay vigilant, expose lies, and share truth. This is Noise Era, Freedom Faction, and Jason Bassler of the Free Thought Project, out.